This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get into some headlines. Mariners got a 4-3 victory over Tampa last night, so they've won the first two games of the series. Marco Gonzalez pitches 7 1/3, gives up 2 runs on 5 hits. So Mariners right now, it's 40-23. Their earned run average down to 3.82. Things continue to go good, and they'll play again today at 1. Now, Juan Nicasio is going to be going on the 10-day, and went on the 10-day disabled list with a right knee injury. Danny Altavilla goes with a 10-day injury that's probably going to be a little bit more. It's a UCL injury, so we'll see how bad that could be. Hope it doesn't lead to Tommy John surgery. They did bring up Danny Vogelbach from the minors, along with the pitcher Mike Morris, or Mike Morin, and so they're out there. So that's the Mariners story right now. Evan White, the second best prospect in the organization, was promoted to Tacoma last night. He ends up getting 3 hits. That was a good sign there. For his bad news for the Angels, Shohei Ohtani has a second degree UCL sprain that could lead to Tommy John surgery. So that's a big story for the Angels. Last night in the NBA, big victory for the Golden State Warriors. They win, and so they sweep the series against the Cavs. And we find out that LeBron James broke his hand on after that overtime game in Game 1 when he kind of got frustrated with some calls and all that. He pounded on a chalkboard, and so he was playing through that injury, but played well. But now we'll see where he ends up going. The Washington baseball team for the Huskies, one game away from going to the College World Series. We got an 8-5 victory over Cal Fullerton. They play Cal Fullerton today again at 3:30 to see if they can advance. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us right now is Dave Grosby. And so, David, Shohei Ohtani, who is certainly the guy that was really pursued heavy by Jerry DePoto, is now possibly going to be done for a season and maybe 2 seasons if indeed they find out in about 3 weeks that UCL injury is going to need Tommy John surgery. This is a big story and one that has a lot of ramifications for the Mariners.
Dave? Division. Mike Trout is having an unbelievable season. And Ohtani has been a big part of it too, pitching and hitting. So, depending on what the layout is, and I know he had an injury going into the year, was injured last year and then played part of the season. It's a big deal for sure for this season for the Angels. Tommy John surgery is not the negative that it used to be. In fact, you know, we're watching Marco Gonzalez 2 years after Tommy John surgery, pitch his best baseball right now. So, short term, it's a big deal. There's no question about it. But from the Angels' standpoint, they didn't spend a whole lot of money to get him, so it's not like losing $20 million a year player or something like that. It's losing a very good player, though, in a year where they're in the pennant race.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because, I mean, he's been, you know, one of the most exciting rookies that I think we've ever seen. I mean, but the fact that he can bat 281, I mean, he can just dominate on the pitching mound. And I guess that's the thing as the story goes, he had a first-degree UCL sprain last year in Japan and was able to get stem cell treatment and different type of treatments and able to go through it. And I think that, you know, in spring training, he experienced a little bit of that problem but was able to go through it. Now we find out that this could shut him down, you know, at least for this season and maybe go into next year.
Well, let's not jump the gun. We'll wait and see what happens, but certainly a big story if that is the case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, and the weird part is like now, much like the Mariners, when things go bad, they go on winning streaks, and now the Angels are on a big winning streak.
Yeah, that's one, I think, 5 in a row, as a matter of fact. And the Astros are winning as well, so they're keeping the pressure on the Mariners, who are continuing to find ways to win.
It is amazing to kind of see the way this whole season has gone for the Mariners, because now they're sitting there 17 games above 500, and all they need to do is finish the season, you know, one game over 500, and if that's the case, they're now on a pace to win maybe 90 games.
We're on a pace to win over 100 right now, John, if they finish 500 for sure, but it's 21 run wins now for them. We mentioned that they're 6-0 in exiting games. There are teams that continue that kind of stretch. It just seems, you know, I think for some, you know, how often can they keep pulling out one run wins? I mean, they're 20-9 at this point. The record, I think, for a season is close to 50, and they're definitely on pace to break that. That was the Rangers of a couple of years ago who did it with a tremendous offense. So, you know, you don't want to look at anything negatively, and I don't. They're figuring out ways to win, and that's the biggest thing about this club. And I don't know why you'd consider them. You know, why, you know, it's habit. You know, it's the years of not winning that people say, well, if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they'll win 90 games. Well, why would they play 500 ball the rest of the way if they're playing 650 ball right now? Well, because you wonder if it's sustainable to keep winning those one-run games, if they can continue to absorb the losses in the bullpen. And this is a pretty key stretch right here after this Tampa series, and Tampa's fallen off the rails since they played the Mariners. They've lost 8 in a row. You have, I think, the next 13 games are against the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Angels. And from that point on, it'll be a different sort of challenge, whereas the Astros are in a stretch where they're playing 38 games in a row against teams under 500. So we'll see what it looks like in June or July, but right now the Mariners most definitely flying high.
Oh, yeah, they really are, and it's kind of fun to watch and just catch to see, you know, can they continue to do this? And they just have great confidence. Now, what about the two injuries that came up yesterday? Danny Altavilla getting the UCL injury. That could be serious. And then Juan Nicasio ends up getting a right knee that was swollen, and so they're both out for 10 games. And they're going with 7 in the bullpen right now, but all of a sudden that depth is starting to be eaten up.
Well, it is, but when they're getting starting pitching like the likes that they're getting, I mean, this is why people are kind of doing what you do and sometimes look at what they'll be if they're 500 the rest of the way, because it's hard to imagine the pitching staff continuing to pitch the way they are. Marco Gonzalez with his career-long outing, you know, and Jerry DePoto said on his show this week that, you know, in the midst of doing a lot of GM speak, which you expect to hear from a guy, he unloosed a little bit of truth, which is, He said that we thought our pitching staff was a lot better than people had perceived it as. And he obviously did. And he was talking about the starting staff. And it's a big start today for Felix Hernandez. And he's off a very impressive performance where they're hoping that he kind of turned a corner. It's the same matchup as he had before when he turned that corner 5 days ago against Blake Snell and Tampa. I think that was last Sunday, so 6 days ago. The starting pitching they're getting means that they can afford that in the bullpen. But every team is going through it. They're no different than anyone else. And right now they've shown the ability to pitch through it. And you look at that trade for Colome, who struggled a little bit again last night, but is a big move. They should be getting Nick Vincent back pretty soon. Attrition is something they got to deal with, but if they get starting pitching the way they're getting it, it's not going to be a big factor.
No, agreed, and that's the fun part about this. But it's remarkable to think that the moves that Jerry DePoto made last year now are really paying off, with Mike Leake now getting 7-8 innings in a start, and even getting into the ninth inning. You know, Marco Gonzalez now stretching it to the eighth. I mean, you know, James Paxton remains healthy, and now it's a matter of can they maintain things with Felix.
Right. I mean, that's the big start today you're not expecting eight innings every performance, but a solid start. And it's been the biggest surprise, the biggest reason why they're 17 over 500. Their hitting has been spotty since Cano went out. I mean, people are looking at the record and saying, well, it had no impact. Well, it has. They've had more one run wins. They've had the better starting pitching, which has compensated for the fact that they're not scoring as many runs as they were beforehand. And that's been the starting pitching. And look, you're, what, 60 or so games in right now. So it's obviously something that you can envision lasting for the rest of the year. It's not a fluke, but they need to stay healthy. Where they're really thin is at the starting rotation. So don't discount Wade LeBlanc either. I mean, this is one of the things that you have to have happen. You have to have X factors when you're going to have special seasons. Guys that you absolutely positively were not counting on to do anything that wind up doing a whole lot. And Wade LeBlanc was cut by the Yankees. I mean, he was not even a part of their plans. They brought him in to be a spot reliever, and Erasmo Ramirez gets hurt and he gets his opportunity. Since he's gotten his opportunity, with the exception of that last start, his ERA has been under 2 as a starter. I mean, that's something that you didn't predict. You weren't counting on it. It wasn't part of your offseason plan. But it's the sort of thing that has to happen if you're going to have a magical run. I mean, while they've been struggling offensively for a little bit, their defense has been spectacular. They're saving a lot of runs with the way they're fielding the baseball. Which doesn't necessitate the need to score as many runs. So they're really hitting on all cylinders like good teams do, and they're 60 games in, so it's time to start considering them a good team.
Yeah, it really is. All right, so now the NBA season is officially over. four-game sweep. Cavs not hardly competitive last night. And then we find out that LeBron James was so frustrated with some calls and different things in the overtime game to start the series that he broke his hand and yet played through it, or at least they put a cast on his hand. So, you know, the speculation begins, but now the Cav run, I think, is over.
Well, it's four straight years in the finals, including a championship. If LeBron leaves, it is over. If he doesn't, it's not. It's that simple.
Yeah, and that's what
expectations are. He's going to probably leave.
Yeah, because you have to see. I mean, if he gets frustrated enough that he breaks his hand, I mean, you know, what is going to get better on the Cavaliers, particularly with the ownership issues that I think he's concerned about? That because the owner, you know, just doesn't seem they don't seem to be on the same page. And you know,
I disagree with that entirely, John. I mean, look, LeBron James is as responsible for this roster as anyone. I mean, he's as close to a functioning general manager and head coach as there is in basketball. I mean, one of the things that he'll miss if he leaves Cleveland is the fact that he basically put that team together and then told them at the halfway point of the year that it wasn't right. And you know, the guys they acquired are guys that are friends of his. They didn't put together a team that LeBron didn't like. They didn't put together a team of guys that he hates. He had a tremendous amount of input on putting together that team. They also can pay him $205 million to stay. No one else can do that. So if money is a factor, you know, that's true too. But LeBron James, to think that he's just a guy who's just a player who is grinding and upset because of the guys they put around him, is not paying attention to the circumstance. He's got more impact and more input in the general manager sense and the coaching sense than any other player in basketball does. So if he leaves, it's for another challenge. It's not because Cleveland has done him wrong in any way, shape, or form, or has put together a team that he doesn't like, or that ownership is not treating him right, because he may have a personal issue with the owner, which is entirely possible, but those aren't reasons to go. I don't buy into that at all. I don't buy into the narrative that LeBron was stuck in, is frustrated because he's got a lousy team put around him. He had a tremendous amount to do with that team put around him on two occasions, so you know, he can go somewhere else, and you know, maybe at this point in his career, he doesn't want to be the main guy anymore, which is certainly understandable as well. But he, you know, in not giving up much in terms of his post game talk yesterday, he did kind of talk about the fact that starting over is something that doesn't have much of appeal to him. So, if you're looking for other teams for him to join, you know, look at teams that are right there as opposed to teams that are up and coming. I mean, for me, if I'm a Laker fan, it was bad news to hear that, or I'm a Knicks fan who's a dark horse, it's bad news to hear that. From Houston, I'm excited because they're, you know, Chris Paul and those guys are already lobbying for him to be a part of their super team, and the fact that he wouldn't have to carry as much of the load. So, you know, that's a big part of it. But I disagree with the narrative that Cleveland somehow put him in a bad spot. He had all the power in the world and had a lot to do with putting that team together, more so than any other player in any other circumstance, in my opinion.
But not complete power, because he did not want to see the change in the general manager and the assistant general manager, because he wanted the general manager and assistant general manager to go get the players that he wanted. And during that void, they just didn't get much better. I mean, they got older, and that's I think one of the big problems with this team, because it's a very old roster.
They got rid of the player. They got the players that he wanted for sure, John. They didn't do a single thing without consulting with him. No new general manager walked into that circumstance and said, "All right, I'm dictating to LeBron James how things are going." So I think you're wrong on that count. I don't think that's the case at all. He may have liked the previous general manager, but you know, if he didn't like you, you're gone. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Mike Brown how that worked out. Mike Brown was a terrific coach for those guys, and LeBron didn't like him, and boom, you know, it doesn't matter that he won a championship. Tyronn Lue is the new head coach, so you know he you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, left, and they didn't replace him properly. They thought they did with Isaiah Thomas. That was a LeBron move all over the place. So you know, I don't agree. I just simply don't agree. Now, I'm not saying he's going to stay in Cleveland for those reasons, but the reasons to go are not because Cleveland didn't look out for him, and no new GM came in there and dictated to LeBron James, "We're getting these players, and you don't have anything to say about it." He was down for every move they made, in my opinion.
Yeah. So now, how long do you think this run can continue for Golden State?
Well, I mean, Kevin Durant's going to re-sign. Draymond Green, you know, Curry. I don't see why it would go away. I mean, it's just a matter of putting together, you know, a couple of complimentary players, and you know, they can go with experienced veterans on the bench. Klay Thompson didn't mean to leave him out, and he seems happy as well. There's no reason to think that it's going to end anytime soon. Those guys are not particularly old; they're veterans. And you know, I think long-term, you worry about injuries being an issue because they're playing 100 and so games a year. But, you know, look at the Warriors in the playoffs, John, the last 2 years, the last two championships. And this year they really got pushed by Houston, obviously. They're 32-6, which in the last 2 years in the postseason. That's all against elite teams. They're not even in the Eastern Conference. So all against teams with winning records. That's a 70-win pace during the regular season. That's how much better they are than everyone else. I mean, it's not even close at this point over the last 2 years. So it would take a bunch of, it seems to me, a bunch of circumstances, a bunch of guys being injured for a long time for them to slip. And I think their dominance, you know, in particular, you know, when you look at how they rolled through it this year and last year with one series being competitive, basically, the Houston series, you know, they're heads and shoulders above everyone else in the NBA. So, you know, unless someone's leaving, I don't see any reason to think that they're going to slow down. Now, Houston had a better record this year. If Houston adds LeBron James and keeps, you know, Chris Paul, James Harden, certainly they'll give him a run. But I think you're a fool to bet against the Warriors, and particularly to bet against a guy like Kevin Durant, who is, you know, they already had the best record in the league history, and then they added Durant, and he has been nothing but a positive. They got a great chemistry working there under Steve Kerr right now, and it's very hard to see the end for the Warriors, for sure.
No, agreed. And how many championships do you think would have been won here had they kept the Sonics with Kevin Durant?
Ay, caramba, man. You know, I mean, you had the nucleus you had Durant, you had Westbrook. You would have, you know, assuming they draft the same way, you would have had James Harden, too, which everyone forgets Oklahoma City had James Harden,
right.
Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant on the same team. It certainly would have been fun. They would have had as much success, if not more, than they had in Oklahoma City. It constantly makes me bitter about the NBA to think about it, John. It would have been just absolutely terrific.
Oh, no. I think it's just horrible that end up happening. And you blame the politicians. You blame Stearns. You blame so many things. And just what was robbed from us, because yeah. Not only were the Sonics so popular and so wanted back, but they would have been one of the best teams in the NBA for a long period of time.
They sure would have been. Sure would have been.
Unbelievable. So what's on the Dave Grosby schedule today?
Well, today is the final jewel in the Triple Crown, John, the Belmont mm-hmm. Stakes. And I always put out a thing every year. This, you're a man of numbers. This may interest you. You know, since Secretariat won the 1973 Triple Crown, you know how many Triple Crowns he would have won since based on his winning times?
How many?
Every single
wow.
one of them. He would have been going for a 46-year winning streak. And by the way, I understand it was a sloppy course that Justify ran on in the Kentucky Derby and in the Preakness Stakes. But his time compared to Secretariat's time in the Kentucky Derby, Secretariat would have won this year by 24 lengths. He would have won the Preakness Stakes by 15 lengths. His time of 2:24 in the Belmont has never been threatened, never been challenged. I think the closest in modern times was Easy Goer, and that was 1989. I think Justify's got a shot at it. I don't think he was that impressive his last time out. I think it'll be a challenge for him. But for me, this is always an annual reminder that the greatest sports performance of all time was 46 years ago today. Secretariat's winning of the Belmont Stakes by 31 lengths. Today's the anniversary of it.
Wow. Well, I know you're going to enjoy it. And, of course, it's always good enjoying being with you. We'll talk to you on Monday. And, of course, thank you so much.
Sounds good, John. Have a great weekend.
Okay, sounds good. That's Bob Gras and Tom every weekday from 12 until 3. We'll come back. And, of course, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Load up the phone lines. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. Where you been?
Oh, I've been busy, John. I've been going back and forth to L.A. to visit my two sons, and then I've been going back and forth to the Dallas-Fort area to visit some relatives there. I'm thinking about moving down there. But I want to get to the Steelers. How do you rate their draft?
Pretty good. I mean, I think they got a good safety that can help them out. They always seem to want to get a wide receiver. I mean, I think they just draft solid. And so I think that they're in pretty good shape. And, you know, the roster's real good right now. I mean, the key is that, you know, they just got to make sure that Le'Veon Bell's holdout doesn't affect them too negatively. And then just try to, you know, get the offense going. And I think they're in pretty good shape.
What I'm really concerned about, and it's been, I've been talking to you for the last 2 years, is the secondary, that defense. they're very vulnerable in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they come down to playing New England, I think that's where Brady and Belichick's going to attack, that middle of the field.
Yeah, and it's funny because, I mean, I know what their emphasis is. Their emphasis is to try to make sure that they're get more man matchups on the cornerbacks, even though they're not a man team. And, you know, Brady, but I think the big thing for them, and I think it's more in the regular season than it's going to be in the postseason, is to wrestle home field away from them. If they can get the home game, which they haven't been able to get, and of course they blew it last year by losing the Jacksonville game at home,
yeah.
You know, that's where I think that they can, you know, have a better chance to try to win.
Hey, John, the linebacker that we lost to that injury,
Ryan Shazier, yeah.
Is he going to play again?
I doubt it.
Yeah, he looks bad. I seen him on TV one night. He could hardly walk.
I know. I mean, and so to think that he can, you know, come back that quickly or how long it's going to take, I just think it's going to be a difficult thing to do. And even if, I mean, you know he's going to try, but even the team has to take the caution of saying, hey, listen, we can't risk it. It's too dangerous. You know, so overall, I think that it's going to be, I think that his career is over. I mean, you saw they did a nice thing that, you know, he had like $8.9 million as far as his, you know, base salary and that because he was a fifth-year option guy.
Yeah.
And they basically gave him all but $790,000. Up front.
So do you think the Steelers are giving him a front office job?
I don't know about that. I mean, I tend to doubt that, but you never know.
Yeah.
I know they like him a lot, and he's such a big part of the team, but, you know, maybe he may not want that. He may want to do something different.
Yeah. Okay, John, good talking to you. Take care.
All right, Mike, welcome back. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Andy in Tacoma. Hey, Andy.
John Clayton, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. So do you think the Packers getting Jimmy Graham, do you think they're going to be a lot better this year?
Oh, no question. Well, the big thing is like getting Jimmy Graham, but also the biggest thing is getting Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, puts I tend to find myself doing it for a while and been forgetting, and then now I don't do it, is that when you start to talk about the top teams, I mean, you talk Philadelphia, you talk Minnesota, you talk the Rams, and you always tend to forget about the Green Bay Packers, and I think the Packers are real close to the Minnesota Vikings, and particularly now that you've got Graham and Mercedes Lewis. They're there on offense. They still have, I think, some questions, a lot of questions on defense. I think we still accept that. But, no, you can't write off the Packers because, you know, with Aaron Rodgers back and better red zone production, they very well might be able to get back and take the division away from Minnesota.
And then another part of my question is, do you think the Seahawks are going to have a top 10 team again, losing all the key players?
I think so. I mean, top 10 would put them as a wild card. I still think they can be a wild card.
What do you think about Rashad Penny? Do you think he's going to be another Christian Michael? Or
no, I don't think so. I like what I see of him. He's got good work ethic. You know, Christian was so talented, but he really didn't work real hard, particularly in his rookie year, and he admitted that. Well, Penny's already working hard, and he's very diligent, but the biggest challenge for him right now is Chris Carson. Chris Carson looks great, but both running backs look good, and C.J. Prosize looks good. That's the weird part about this. I mean, they didn't pass the ball to running backs as much as they really should, and now they've really got four options as far as catching the ball, because J.D. McKissick can catch the ball well, C.J. Prosize can catch and run real well, but Carson does a good job of it, and Penny just looks smooth in that capacity.
Yeah, I'm hoping Penny has a big season for us. So,
mm-hmm. Well, just any running back having a big season, that I think is going to be the key.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you, John Clayton.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet. Jet, how are you?
Dr. John, how you doing today?
Doing well.
I'm looking forward to that Preakness, or the Belmont, I'll tell you. That was one of the few interesting things I've ever heard Graz say when he mentioned that Secretariat would have gone undefeated for every Triple Crown since 73.
Isn't that amazing?
That's quite a stat.
That really
is.
I mean, that's phenomenal.
Now, I mean, you take out, you know, there's, you know, sloppy years, mm-hmm. like this year, for example, but still, that's one hell of a, you know, I mean, that's just incredible.
I mean, it's almost like when you're watching Tiger Woods in his prime and just how much better he looked like anybody that you'd really had seen. And,
yeah, it's kind of like the Babe Ruth of horse racing.
Exactly.
I mean, you got a guy that's hitting more home runs than teams, entire teams, you know.
And it's fun to watch,
it's just incredible. But anyway, so I was thinking about moving to northern Jersey and opening up a DUI practice.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, I think there's a ready-made clientele there in Florham Park.
I know. What's going on with your guys?
Boy, I don't know. That's I was going to ask you the same question. It seems like ever since they've moved to Florham Park full-time and had their practice facilities there instead of going over to Hofstra, they've had their handful of problems that they never really ever had before.
No, that's true.
So I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the connection is. But there's got to be something because, you know, I mean, that's a substantial amount of time. I mean, they just been to Florham Park full time for the last, what, 4 years, three years?
Right.
You know, and they went all that time without, you know, and they've had characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not as if they haven't had characters, but, boy, you know, I mean, these guys are just, it's clown time.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit scary, and you know, you worry. Okay, are they going to get suspensions, and how much is it going to affect? And it kind of makes you wonder about the discipline on the team. Clearly, it's a matter of accountability. I mean, accountability doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah, and I you know, you hear Todd Bowles get up there and say that's not the Jet way. You know, it's accountable, blah blah blah. But yet, it keeps happening.
Right.
You know, and you know, I understand like Robbie Anderson's situation. Quite frankly, a couple of those cases kind of smelled a little funny. When they were filed,
mm-hmm.
I thought they were totally trumped up, but that doesn't mean where there's smoke, there's not, you know, some fire going.
Right.
But and I think the kid's still a hat rack, and that's got to be addressed. But you know, the kid that they drafted in the fifth round last year, it's his second one, and the second one he's driving the wrong way in the freaking Lincoln Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John, that's
pretty bad.
Beyond dangerous.
I agreed. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then this kid, he just signed his, the kid from Miami just signed his contract, just a few days before, and he's going out and he's getting popped. I mean, you know, and what the frustrating thing is, I mean, these guys have rides available to them.
Correct, yeah.
You know, they just got to, you know, make the phone call, and they just don't do it. And I understand the theory of invincibility for these young guys. I get that, but... You know, where's the veterans? Where's the veteran leadership? You know, who's watching these guys? That's the thing I will say. You know,
and I think that you may have hit on a big thing. I still remember being at training camp at Jacksonville, and I really liked what I saw of the Jaguars and how they were coming together. But I remember Gus Bradley telling me, I said, "Yeah, but the one thing that we don't have is that veteran leadership."
Yeah,
and the guys that can kind of point things in the right direction for the young guys. And so then, you know, they fire Gus. They then go ahead and they sign Calais Campbell and Barry Church. And so all of a sudden, that's taken care of.
Yep.
And then you look at that Jets roster. You're right. I mean, who are the veteran guys that can be the leaders?
Yeah. You know, and I remember the Jets in the Walt Michaels years, Joe Fields and Joe Klecko. They'd bring the offensive and defensive linemen out every Monday, and they'd go shoot darts in northern Jersey. But they made sure, you know, these guys probably drank, you know, like pigs. But, you know, they made sure everybody had rides home. And not only was it a team bonding situation, but there was a collective responsibility. And you never heard of any of those guys, which I'm sure they were, you know, drinking up a storm, but you didn't hear any problems, you know, because you had that veteran leadership. And I think that's really what's missing in – partly because, for example, I think Brickishaw, Ferguson, and David Harris were leaders by example instead of being, you know, an overbearing, you know, do what I say type of guy. But even those guys are gone, and I think that's part of the repercussions of the purge that they had a couple years ago, in that you just cut the top off,
mm-hmm.
and there's really nobody else around.
Yeah,
I think that may be part of the repercussions of it. Perhaps, I don't know.
No, I think you hit on something, because again, you start to look and a lot of leadership has to be with winning. And,
yeah.
You know, you're
going
to believe guys that come from winning programs, guys that have won in the past, and you accept that. And that's why you want as many leaders as you possibly can. But if, you also don't want to get too old. And that was one of the things. I mean, you notice, you know, they 2 years, 3 years ago, they just didn't have any speed. They had nothing there. And then they've adjusted to that and now fix that problem. But now they may not have that leadership.
Yeah, Willie Colon. Mm-hmm. Talk about a classic example to make your point. I mean, there's a guy you talk about that would be a leader in the clubhouse from a winning program, knows how to do it, knows how to do it the right way, has worked his way up. Those are the kind of guys, you're exactly right, are not missing. I mean, you've got the nose guard, McClendon, that they got from Pittsburgh. But some of those guys are few and far between. And Beecham's there, but he's not a real vocal guy. You know, DeMario Davis, well, he's gone now. So I think maybe, John, it's just growing pains as they're trying to establish that winning culture, but they just don't have that leadership at the top. And, you know, maybe it's just growing pains. I don't know, but, boy, it's becoming a pattern, and that's problematic.
Yeah, and that takes away, you know, the possible success of the team. Because, you know, if there's so many distractions, and again, you want that accountability, and at some point, somebody's got to say something. It's like, hey, we can't tolerate this anymore.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder, at some point, are they going to have to make an example of somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know they're not going to do it with Robbie Anderson. I mean, they're just, you know, continually eating crow with that kid. But, you know, are they just going to have to pick somebody out and just make an example of them? I don't know. But it's getting a little concerning, I think. And the coaching staff can do something, but they can only do so much. I think you're right. It's got to come from within the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's where they probably are missing something. And I don't know, at this stage, I mean, it's too late to really get anybody in there that can really clean that up a little bit. But that is a big problem. But, you know, and we'll see. You know, Josh McCown is a veteran guy at the age of 38, but I don't think you would call him the demonstrative leader that can fix those problems.
No, and don't forget, he's only been there for, what, a year?
Right.
You know, so he doesn't have a whole lot of tenure there. But I think they're drafting guys like Jamal Adams, for example. I think he could melt into that role. You know, but I do think you got to have a couple of linemen that will stand up and kind of enforce things a little bit too. And the offensive line is just in that state of flux. You know, I don't know. Yeah, it's concerning.
No, I agree with that. I mean, and something that needs to be fixed. Hey, Jet, yeah. Thank you for the phone call.
Take care, John. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Belmont if you get a chance to watch.
Right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Mankey. Irish Mankey, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton. Absolutely fantastic on this beautiful day in wonderful Seattle, Washington. And how are you and Mrs. Clayton?
Doing today? Well. I think it's going to rain, so it might kill my chance to jog.
Mr. Clayton, do not allow that to happen. You must hit the pavement.
Yeah.
You can't quit on yourself.
No,
you've got to run.
I'm sure something's going to happen that I won't be able to have the time.
Run.
Yeah, yeah. Be nice, but probably the odds are right now against it. I saw the forecast, and forecast is saying that probably right around the end of the show, it's going to start to rain.
Mr. Clayton, how far do you run when you run?
About 30 minutes.
Oh, do you have a pedometer, or
No.
Do you have any kind of a mile?
I don't get a chance to run enough to have any kind of thing to do. So
Just run. Just run. Well, I find it hard to believe that you're not capable of running between the raindrops, Mr. Clayton.
You can't run between the raindrops. They're too close.
It's just a matter of speed, Mr. Clayton.
Well, I don't have that.
So, Mr. Clayton, there's a lot of conversation today, of course, on the event of the day, which is horse racing. And listening to, there's a show on Friday nights and Saturday nights with this guy, R.J., and a host, Steve Caulfield, out of Vegas, talk about things like this. And they don't think there's a Triple Crown winner this year, Mr. Clayton.
Interesting.
They think the distance is going to be a real problem.
That's been the problem all along. I mean, that's always the thing that seems to stop, because you're going like another quarter mile longer than you normally do.
Yeah, it just is too long for most of these Triple Crown running horses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So how are the Irish players on the Seahawks doing in this summer?
C.J. Procise is doing pretty well. I think that you know, he's had at least a very good offseason so far, and he hasn't been hurt. That's been one of the keys.
Well, it doesn't hurt. And how about Smith at Dallas? How's he coming along now? Anything?
Still struggling. Nothing great. No great reports on him yet.
So Jeepers Creepers, Mr. Clayton.
By the way, are you braced for the Phil Steele book that's coming out? You know, he does the best.
Yes. You know, your former employers, ESPN, had the Irish at a 10-2 season.
Yeah, but did you see what team was Phil was going to rate above them?
The Irish?
Above the Irish, yeah.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
That would be your Washington Huskies.
Let me guess. Washington?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they have Notre Dame at number 8.
The only problem is they play in a conference and they get the...
Which gives them a better chance to get into the Final Four because they're in a conference and Notre Dame isn't.
Master Clayton, 12-0 Irish automatic.
Yeah, but they're not going to go 12-0, so.
Irish probably, and even a 10-2 Irish is in their consideration.
I doubt it.
Mr. Clayton,
they're number 8. They're not number 4.
You know, the Irish will probably come in and it ranked at about 15 or 16, which is respectable. I never like them to be ranked real high. Historically, it doesn't bode well. But when they're ranked back in the middle of the pack of the top 25, there's really potential. And I see a lot of potential in this team, Mr. Clayton, this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a rock-solid defense this year. Rock-solid. And they've got a super offense coming their way. They're just a team of unknown, so to speak. One last thing, Mr. Clayton. So, on this conference thing, you know, we talked last week about the idea that the Irish schedule outdoes anybody else in the country, which is fine. And when you're selling your program to the kids, you want to be able to say, we go and play anybody, anywhere. We don't run and hide in a conference and only play one, maybe two tough games. We play 5 25-ranked teams this year. Come on and show us you're a champion.
Yeah, show them that you can win 2 out of the 5, and then all of a sudden it's a nice 9-3 season.
No, Mr. Clayton, that's so. But I understand, you know, show me. You're a show-me kind of guy.
That's
which
correct.
Is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But someday I know you'll be a believer.
Now, no,
the
probably
other
not.
Reason,
I would tend to think not.
The other reason.
Hey, Irish, thank you. Irish, got to run. Thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421 ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Taking your phone calls, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421 ESPN. The Mariners, of course, following this show today. Gary Hill will be joining us here at the top of the hour. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421 ESPN. Interesting talking to Gary Hill about the way things are changing around for the Rams, and things very positive right now. They're having a nice, quiet OTA, and they go into the mini camps this week. Got all their draft choices signed yesterday. So, well, right now we're down to like about, I think it's 33 draft choices that are unsigned. Last year, I think there was 16 or 17 that were not signed by the end of the OTAs and the mini camps. So I would imagine that most of the guys will get done this week. 16 first-rounders remain unsigned. The only one missing right now, Rasheem Green, third-round pick for the Seahawks, and I'm sure that deal will get done because everything is pretty well slotted around him. 9 third-round picks. I think, no, 8 third-round picks remain unsigned. So that usually tends to be a little bit of a tough round. Again, talking about the New England Patriots, that Julian Edelman suspension, that's going to be really tough for them because it really takes away a player that they need early in the season. They're now completely revamped at the wide receiving core because, you know, they traded away Brandon Cooks to the Rams. They lost Danny Amendola, and now for 4 games they won't have Edelman. So could mean a slow start to the season, but somehow, some way, the Patriots always find a way to make it work. That seems to be their strength. They're really good at doing that, but now that's going to be the extra challenge that they go into. And of course, you know, you kind of wonder what Edelman, he made the apology to the team. Certainly he knows the damage that he's caused because they really do need that passing offense. And now what you wonder, I mean, and I kind of put this out there, you know, would they actually go sign Dez Bryant I mean, is that something that they would consider if the money is right? I mean, again, they wouldn't, you know, but of course, would Dez want to go there knowing that it might not be the most fun experience? All you know is that you have a chance to win. So we'll see if that kind of opens up. Looks like there is going to be a supplemental draft on July 11th and a couple prospects that may be able to be drafted, including a 6'3 cornerback out of Virginia Tech. We'll keep you up to date on that. In the other realm of things, this week, of course, with this being the mini camp week, we'll see what guys are going to show up. Is Earl Thomas going to show up? Is Aaron Donald going to show up? We know Le'Veon Bell's not going to be there. Four teams had mini camps this week, and there wasn't one no-show, so nobody got fined. So we'll see with 28 teams having their mini camps this week if there are going to be any players that just want to skip it and not be there. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We'll come back and talk to Gary Hill from the Mariners and, of course, seeing what he thinks now as this team continues to win. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.